This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. You are listening to Food for Thought with Carol, and I'm Tracy Gregoire, filling in for Carol, who just got back on a red eye from Cabo, and she's leaving again for a cruise, I believe, tomorrow. So hope she has a lot of fun. Joining me today and filling in is Steve Freeman from the Manchester Food Co-op. Thank you for filling in today.
Pleasure.
We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We would love to hear from you. The number again is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here in the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. Come on down and have lunch at Midtown Cafe and watch the show. You can go to foodforthoughtnh.com to check out exciting news there, things that have happened on the show or pictures, and also to listen to replays. You can also like us on Facebook, Food for Thought with Carol. So without any further ado, I would like to welcome into our studio today I have to really think about this now. We're Food for Thought.
It's not easy.
We're Food for Thought, and they're Thought for Food and Sons.
Son.
So please join Alan Casucci, the president and CEO of Thought for Food and Son, and with him is Ethan Casucci, director of client services. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us in.
So tell us just before, we'll do this kind of again at the end too, but tell us, if people hear something that they like while you're talking, where can they get more information about you?
They can go to our website, which is www.tffandandson.com.
Okay. So just a little bit, first give us a brief synopsis of what it is that you do, and then I want to talk a little bit about the history of how you came to be.
I think just before you get started, we need to know where you came up with the name.
Pretty interesting. It really just came out of nowhere, to be honest with you. We were actually doing some work.
Is that nowhere.com?
when we first started, I was freelancing before I started the business, and it just came up. And that's how we pushed it forward. And then when Ethan joined the company and my other son joined the company, then we expanded it to Thought for Food and Son. I'm proud to say we're celebrating our 10th year in business this year. We're a creative boutique.
Thank you.
What we consider ourselves a creative boutique. And we work with food companies all over the country. Our four areas of core competency would be packaging design, social media work, traditional public relations, and brand development work. And my background is I started in Boston. I worked in Boston for about 15 years at some of the larger agencies in there. And then just at that point decided to go out on my own. And 10 years, we started the business and here we are. So it's a lot of fun.
So growing up as a kid, was there, did you have a love to be in the kitchen and cook or anything food related? What was the progression from?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. Being Italian, we always talked about the arts around the dinner table at night. Mm-hmm. And then my grandmother was a phenomenal cook who lived in East Boston. And I think the love of the arts and the food all of a sudden just played in together. And it's something that's always interests me. And the other thing, because I worked in some of these larger agencies in Boston, I wanted to create a company that would specialize in a certain category. Because a lot of clients don't want to pay you to learn their business.
Certainly.
This way we know their business. So it's a big advantage for us.
Yeah. And for the clients that come on board.
Absolutely.
It kind of cuts the the time and half to get them going, I'm sure.
Yeah, and another thing that we bring to the table, which most, if you will, agencies don't, is our ability to match our clients with distributors and brokers. We actually have a strategic relationship with a company down in Long Island, New York, called Source One Sales and Marketing. And as we're bringing our brands to market, we then introduce them to Source One, and then they're the ones who actually look at the different distributors that would be needed, like UNFI, KeHE, whoever it might be, and then they go present to the buyers at the actual retail stores. So it's a real good combination that we have. So it's almost, if you can say, one-stop shopping.
So for those food gourmets at home that are trying to get a business off the ground with, you know, say this dressing in front of us, this buttermilk chipotle dressing, do they go to you with a proven recipe that they're ready to bring to market but don't know how to sell it? Or when would somebody call you? What's that step to take when they're ready to call someone like you?
I think the way that we look at it is we work with a lot of emerging food brands, which would, you know, so when we actually find these people, it's they're to the point where the product has been developed, but now they need to be able to create packaging for it. They need to be able to put the messaging together for it, okay, develop a brand platform for which then they can take it and start launching it. And the food industry has many, many, many layers to it. So what we do at the very beginning is we'll help them with all their packaging. We'll do all the product photography. We do all the design work. Then we'll create all the PR and all the brand messaging that needs to go out so that you can start promoting it to the food industry. We actually work on both sides of the fence, as we like to say, with consumer PR and also with food trade PR. Because if the buyers and the people within your peer group, if you will, if they don't understand what your product is, or then nobody's going to understand it. You need to have that first foray into the industry itself.
Do you actually produce the packaging or design it based on what manufacturers are capable of doing?
We do all the design work, but we have sources where we can go out and actually source what they call the substrates. Okay. Is it a tray? Is it a box? Is it a bag? Whatever it may be.
Okay.
So, and then Ethan's very involved. Once we start creating, once we're all through the design phase of it, we start doing all the PR aspect of it. I do a lot of the brand development work. I do all the writing. And then Ethan is very involved in all their social media aspect of it and doing all the follow-up with the media. So I'm actually proud to say Ethan just had one of our clients like 2 weeks ago in the New York Times.
Yeah. Oh, so, I was just going to ask you about what you do and how you got started. And so how did you come to have that role in the company?
Yep. So I graduated from Johnson & Wales University about 3 years ago now, believe it or not. And I have a bachelor's degree in advertising and communications. And once I graduated, I kind of just went right into the fire with my father. And, you know, it's been great. He has a lot of knowledge in the industry. I've been able to learn from him. And I'm just not saying that because he's my father, but it's been great. And
is
so,
it because he pays you?
Yes, that too.
Of course.
Great too. So, yeah, so it's been a great experience so far, and I'm really heavily involved on the public relations side of it. Also the social media, also all the blogger outreach that we do. We also do a lot of blogger recipe challenges where we send out samples to a certain amount of bloggers. We have them create recipes. We have them put that on their social media. We have them put it on their blogs, and it generates a lot of buzz surrounding the product.
We actually announced a winner of one of your blog recipes with Healthy Solutions Spice Blends right on our show.
Yep.
And
Shelley is in Milford, New Hampshire, and the person that won, I think, was from Dallas, Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that shows you the reach of where you can get the product out. And the best thing about working with these like blogger recipe challenges is that you're actually getting your product into the consumer's home. So they're touching it, they're tasting it, they're using it. And that goes a long way.
Right.
That's a really a great way of getting product acceptance. And then we want those people to go start talking to their local retailers about carrying the product.
And what people also don't understand is that consumers are very loyal to bloggers. So if you put a product on there and they say, you know what, this is a phenomenal product, go down to the store and buy it, they're going to listen to them. So that's also another advantage of being able to reach out to these bloggers and having them use it, putting it on their social media, put it on their blog. So that's always good.
Because as opposed to just being a product that's on the shelf that you have no background or knowledge of, now you have this relationship that you've built with somebody. You kind of even, you know, you feel like you know them. You're reading their blogs and getting to know that, you know, them as a person or somebody who is referring the product. So it's that word of mouth thing is huge.
Yeah, and one thing that people don't understand is one thing of getting your product on the shelf, but there's another whole step of getting the product pulled off the shelf.
Right.
So that's even more key. So
Ethan, you do all this social media stuff, and when I hear social media, I think Facebook, Twitter, and Blogspot or Blogger.com or something. Are those the predominant areas you delve into, or is there, because it's a food-related business, is there a whole other side of social media that most of our listeners may not be aware of?
No, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter. Those are all the main social media platforms that we use. We also go on YouTube and Tumblr and other ones, but those aren't as popular as the other ones.
I'm hearing that Instagram is the place for businesses to be now, which I think is really surprising, because when I first heard about Instagram, I literally thought, well, that's just a place for kids and you know, all their little selfies that they post. I'm surprised how many businesses are really on Instagram now. Do you find that Instagram is much more than Facebook now?
Yes, Instagram and Pinterest. This research that comes out that shows that if you put a plated shot on Pinterest, they're 70% more likely to buy that product. So beauty shots, things along those lines, that's what makes Instagram so great. When they see those photos, you know, it gives them a craving to go get that product, to try it. So yes, it's another avenue that companies are able to use to help get their product out there.
But the other thing that we find is that Twitter is a tremendous way of talking to, if you will, professionals within the industry. Now, I know you had McKnight on Smoked Salmon, I think it was last week. And now they're out of Miami. They're one of the largest smoked salmon companies in the country. And we've been using Twitter to reach out to distributors and to chefs. So we've had a tremendous amount of success having chefs reply back to us saying, does McKnight distribute within the Boston market? And we can say, yes, they do, and then put them in touch with them. Mm-hmm. So we find Twitter as a very, I think, more of a business tool, if you will. We find that works extremely well. We do that with a lot of the media also, right, especially on the food side trade. We do that. We were fortunate enough to launch the Bayonne Ham, which is a cured ham on the same level as the Italian the Parma prosciutto and the Sorrento ham out of Spain. And this the Bayonne was out of France. So we launched that at the Fancy Food Show this summer in New York. And we did all of our communication with the media, the food media, the New York media, also in San Francisco and Portland, to be able to talk to them about this ham. And the show was just incredible. We had more people show up at their booth than you could shake a stick at.
And why didn't you bring any today?
It's already sold out.
And is Bayonne available locally?
It's right now in Safeway markets across New York. They're only allotted only allotted so many pounds per year, because it's a 20-month process to cure the hams.
Is it just like prosciutto, where it's just salt cured,
air-dried? Yes, air-dried. It's fantastic.
But the way they go through the process is different than what you'd find in Italy or in Spain. So
okay,
that's the difference.
I'm very disappointed we couldn't try that today.
Lucky we got some at the show, to be honest with you.
So, Ethan, I know the company's been around for 10 years now. You just celebrated 10 years. At what point did you say, this is what I want to do and I want to work, you know, for my dad's company? Before he even started this business, were you thinking that you wanted to go into, you know, marketing?
I did. Ever since I was little, I can remember, you know, when I was 12, 13 years old, he's always been in the, you know, PR advertising industry. And it's just always been something that I've been so interested in. And having the chance to be able to, you know, graduate from college and being able to work with him, it's been an absolute privilege. So ever since, I would say, since I was little, and not to mention that we work in the food industry and I love food on top of it. So it kind of all works out well.
So you must get to sample a lot of great food.
Lots.
Okay, so off topic, well, on topic of food, but off topic of business, what is your favorite food or favorite restaurant?
Oh, favorite restaurants.
Now you guys are.
I'm a steak guy, so
me too.
I like Capital One. I'm heavy into steaks. So
yeah.
Bring me to a good steakhouse, I'll go.
Mm-hmm. Same here. I want to say we went to the Fancy Food Show in New York probably about 2 years ago, and we went to this steakhouse called Del Frisco's, and boy, were the steaks delicious.
I bet they were.
See, I'm spoiled for steak now. I can't have steak in a restaurant. My husband makes it too good. I'd rather just stay home and have him make me a ribeye the way he makes it.
There you go. Absolutely. Especially on the grill.
Yep, he can do it both in the on the stovetop, sear it really, really quick,
nice.
And then sticks it in a cast iron pan, of course, and then sticks it in the oven, 500 degrees.
Real good.
Yeah, or the grill. So
we're going to have to come over for dinner then.
I have a question about, like, what is one product you help repackage where sales just, like, your portfolio piece, if you will.
Our portfolio piece. Well, we've done quite a bit. I would say for Shelly, it's been, you know, the turnaround on her product was tremendous.
From Healthy Solutions.
From
Spice
Healthy
Blends,
Solutions, yeah.
Which I've seen on the shelves.
Yep.
And every time I walk up to the seafood, you know, section there, and I see them hanging there, and I'm like, I know who has
that. I think another one is we have a client called Cape Cod Select. They actually own a cranberry farm down in Carver, Massachusetts. They have like a 450-acre farm. And when they launched, we did all their packaging. We did their logo design work. We took it into focus groups. We did a lot of testing of it. And today, they are in, I think, 5,500 stores across the country.
That's fantastic.
And we have won awards for that design. So, it really goes across because, you know, it's what is the product, what is the look, what is the feel, what are we trying to get across? So we do a lot of poly bags. We do tubs. We do trays. We're working with a company out of New York right now where we're designing a sleeve that's going to be going into Costco for an organic hot and sour soup. So everything has its own feel to it. So packaging design is definitely one of our major strengths, without a doubt. Like I said, we do it for companies all over the country.
And it's a tremendously competitive environment.
Very competitive.
And like Shelly's company, you know, again, 10 years ago, I don't recall packaged spice flavoring mixes.
Right.
And now you're fighting with 25, if not 2,500 companies to capture their eye.
Yeah, exactly. When we're creating packaging, especially for emerging food companies, we have to keep in mind that we're competing against national brands. So we have to make sure that this packaging comes through, you know, clear. It says what it is. It will be, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, consumers basically have 10 seconds to pull your product off the shelf. So you need to be able to grab them and get that product off the shelf.
Right.
Talk to us a little bit about, looking at your information here, this Food Media Index.
Yes, so our PR Food Media Index is a database that we have. It's our proprietary PR database. It has over 100,000 media outlets with 300,000 media contacts within there. So if anywhere from Good Morning America to the editor at your local newspaper to the editor at Better Homes and Garden Magazine, we have that information, and we can send those, you know, our clients' information to them. We also have a 24/7 social media module where we can put in keywords for our clients. So anything that happens in real time gets put into a filter for us. So we can retweet it, tweet it, respond back to them. So it's just a great tool that we have that's proprietary to us.
And that's where my other son is very involved in the business, my son Tyler. He builds all these different databases for us. We have a new business database of probably right now 10,000 food companies in there that we're constantly contacting, sending out emails. And then we have another whole database that he's built that's all brokers and distributors. So when we get a new client, an emerging client, we can put together large email blasts and saying that we're only looking for the best brokers and distributors. And then we get responses back. So that's how we can introduce our clients to that other aspect of the business.
And that's what makes us different from then a general PR agency
or
versus
ad
someone
agency.
Who specializes in the food industry. We have those connections.
Right. That's great. So tell people again where they can go to contact you or get more information about Thought for Food and Stuff.
You can go to www.tffandandson.com.
And you can also find us on Facebook at Thought for Food and Son.
Coming from the social media person.
Can't forget that.
I wanted to also find out, if there's anything that you guys would recommend for, besides contacting you guys to help. Is there one great tip for somebody who is just thinking, I really would like to, start up my business and I don't know where to start. Obviously contacting you guys would be a great place. But if there's one great tip, something that you would suggest, a good place to start for somebody who has no idea.
And to further that question, someone who thinks, I can't afford somebody like that just yet, and not understanding that you can't afford not to take it to that next level.
Yeah, I think as a business owner, I think, you have to understand the resources that are in and around your area where you do business. So that could be your local chamber of commerce. I think there's a lot of different groups or professional groups that are out there now where you can go and talk with people who have actually gone through the process. I think that's very important is before you invest, because it's not cheap to bring a product to market. It's very expensive. And in the food industry, there's probably somewhere around 17,000 products every year that are launched. So to really talk with somebody who has an understanding of what it takes to bring a product to market, understanding that no product goes into a store for free, you have slotting fees, and that's something that you need to deal with, and try to understand what kind of capital you're going to need to do that, because it is very expensive.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Alan and Ethan Kisucci from Thought for Food and Son. It's always great to hear kind of the behind the scenes of, we just go to the store and we buy the food that we want. And I'm always interested to hear kind of how much is involved in the stuff that we don't know about. So thank you. We're going to go on a quick break. You guys have a fabulous day. We're going to go on a quick break. And coming back, we're going to be with Donna's Delights from Delaware, which is always a treat. So stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. You are listening to Food for Thought with Carol. And Carol is not in today. This is Tracy Gregoire. And with me today is Steve Freeman filling in. So thanks for being here, Steve. So that was really interesting to hear kind of the marketing side of foods.
It's great because you just have no idea what it takes to get any type of product to market. We, the consumers, just see, the finished bottle of sriracha, if you will, but what it took to actually get it into the hands of the consumers from the kitchen table, it's really quite a process.
And speaking of sriracha, we have another person in the studio today, but also on the phone we have Donna, so we're going to get right to that. But Randy Clemens, thank you for coming in. He's the author of the Sriracha Cookbook and the Veggie Lover Sriracha Cookbook. So he's going to be joining us here, and we are going to welcome Donna's Delights from Delaware.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
In the house. I heard somebody else in the house.
Yes, so Carol is not in the house. Carol just got back from Cabo on a red eye.
You know, that's how she's doing it. She's pimping.
That must be nice.
It must be. Pimping ain't easy, but somebody got to do it, and I'm glad it's her. She's doing
exactly.
Big things.
And then with me is Steve Freeman is also in the house, and Randy Clemens.
Steve. Hey, Randy. How's life been treating everybody up in New Hampshire?
Pretty well.
Pretty
I'm loving it here. Yep, it's gorgeous.
You in there with Tasty Tracy today, huh?
That's a new one.
No complaints.
Tasty. That's right, Tracy. You might as well be Tracy. You might as well, if you're going to be Tracy, you might as well be Tasty, too.
I think that name might stick. I hope none of my friends heard that one.
Why not? You're You're a classy lady. You beautiful inside and out. So you got some flavor, so you tasty.
I got some flavor.
Flavor, you know.
So I've already told Steve and Randy that they are in for a treat listening to you today.
Well, you know what? I wasn't on last week, so you know I'm antsy. You know, it's all up in me. So we get two days worth today.
So lay it on us, Donna.
I'm going to lay it on you. Y'all ready?
Should I buckle up?
Is my fans ready? All right, Donna's ready. Here we go. Now, I see yellow, red, orange, and brown leaves have changed. The weather has changed, and even the time has been changed. I'm looking forward as time went back. The geese and Miss Doris are all ready to fly, spread their wings and fly south. Time for comfort food, thankfulness, my oh my, and pumpkin pie. Break out the hoodies. It's time to cover up that back fat. Put those UGG boots on, and nobody will never know that your feet got more corns than Del Monte. Be thankful for the season and the time change. Time change. Put on those layers. Pack on the pounds. Time to rake the leaves and pick apples. Fall has come. A welcoming smell of cinnamon now replaces the smell of summer sweat. Thank God for the cool, crisp air. 'Cause July, I dreaded being behind a garbage truck or any place that had food items dumped in a trash can. George Clinton and the P-Funk, y'all. Woo! Nothing like hot garbage on a summer day that make you appreciate this kind of weather. We are in fall. Yes. Be happy for turtlenecks. Be happy. Come on, be happy for turtlenecks and flannel pajamas, because they are needed to keep that cellulite warm that is starting to form in all the wrong places. Y'all know that cellulite starting to form because y'all covering up everything. So It's starting to form in all the wrong places. King, the days are getting shorter and the nights are getting longer. Time fell back on y'all's watch up. Be thankful and fill that summer beer belly with the recipe of the week, chicken and apple sriracha. Yes. Here's what you'll need for finger-licking apple picking. All right, you'll need a quarter cup of sriracha sauce. You'll need a quarter cup of honey, one packet of Saison. Y'all know I'm hooked on my Saison. A quarter teaspoon of garlic powder, one teaspoon of salt, a half a cup of onion sliced thin, one cup of apple sliced thin with the skin off, one tablespoon of lemon juice, 8 to 10 chicken thighs with the skin on. No need to count calories now that tank top season's over. Place that chicken in a freezer bag with that honey and sriracha. Coat it well and place in the fridge for 1 hour. Or if you got time, I recommend overnight. Once that chicken is marinated, go on and take it on out. Heat you up a skillet with some oil. I use ghee. I pan-seared my chicken for 5 minutes on each side. Then I transferred it into a baking dish. I place those apple slices and pour the lemon juice over my apples to prevent browning. Place my onions over the chicken. Now I sprinkled on the garlic powder, the salt, and the Saison. I covered with foil, and I baked in a preheated oven at 375 degrees. Bake for 30 to 40 minutes until done. Take on out the oven. Serve it with some crusty bread, because carbs are your friends. Nobody's going to see what's underneath that turtleneck that you are battling the ball. Trust me, you got time to enjoy life, knowing that Donna's Delight has always got you. With the recipe of the week, y'all, chicken and apple sriracha. Keen.
I was waiting for it. It's so ironic that is the recipe of the week, because we have Randy Clemens in the studio with us, who is the Sriracha cookbook author.
Oh, do you got some chicken and apple in there, Randy?
There's definitely, I think there's both. I don't know if I've put them together, but that does sound really good.
Don't it sound good?
It does sound good.
To go ahead because it's apple picking season around here. Mm-hmm. And you know, ain't nothing like apple picking and finger licking. You know, chicken and apples go good together. You know, you got to have that going on.
That sounds good.
So we got Tasty Tracy, Randy Rand. She said, what do you got for Steve?
Let's see. Now, I got to think of one for Steve. Steve, Steve don't rhyme with nothing yet. Well, what's Steve's personality? What does Steve do?
He is the vice president and treasurer of the Manchester Food Co-op.
Okay, Steve is on the hop with the food co-op. He got it going on. He just moving all around. So he hopping around. So I got, you know, y'all put Donna on the spot, but Donna will think of something because she does.
I knew you would.
Hopping Steve.
I'm quick on my feet, you know. So everything is good. And y'all, so the food co-op, do y'all give food away to homeless people as well?
No, but that's a great question because we get asked that and confused with that daily. That would be a food bank or a food shelter gives the food away to people who can't afford to feed themselves.
Okay.
A food co-op is a business model that we all own our grocery store together.
Correct.
As our own little community. And we search high and low to find the best local foods we can in our community and get them back to the people. And we're still in the process of building the store. And when we open, you know, we'll be selling the Sriracha cookbook because it's certainly a local
cool.
influence. And you know, using recipes like yours.
Okay, you definitely have to come down here and see what we have. One in Newark, we have a Newark co-op.
And that's right, you do.
Built a beautiful, beautiful facility right downtown in Main Street in Newark. So you definitely might want to sneak down here and see how it looks because they even got a cafe in there. Y'all gonna have a cafe in there, so you know everybody can get their sriracha on and eat it on up.
We are heavily in talks, and we're designing our store now, and we're talking about how much of a cafe we're going to have. We know we're going to have one, whether it's 10 seats or 40 seats, and help yourself, self serve. We're working on the details of that.
All right, so
but you have a couple of co-ops in Delaware, actually.
Okay, well, the one in Newark, because I live close to the one in Newark, so that's the only one I know about. But yeah, definitely when y'all get that up and running, I have to come up there and make my my sandwich, my apple and scrapple, my scrapple apple sandwich.
Scrapple apple.
Did you just say scrapple?
Scrapple apple.
Ain't nothing wrong with no scrapple, babe.
I've never heard of scrapple. I saw it in the grocery store last week. I read the ingredients. I said, it's pork sausage. I'm going for it. It's not, you know, it's not lemons or healthy apples.
For you.
Well, I want to know.
What is it?
You're going to get it. You're going to get it around Thanksgiving time, but I can't tell y'all until it's around that time because it's almost that time. You hear me?
We're listening. Scrapple is basically like ground sausage that's made into like a little pound cake.
Boo boo.
Well,
boo boo.
Boo boo. Boo boo.
Scrapple is everything that you couldn't eat on a pig. It's from the rooter to the tooter. It's everything on the pig. Everything that nobody else wanted. That's what scrapple is, and then they take some meal and they mix it together. That's why it looks all gray. Oh, no, you don't get the good stuff when it comes down. You got the rooter from the tooter when it comes down to scrapple.
Well,
I think I'll pass.
That's where the flavor is, Donna, isn't it?
Honey, that's where it's at. Next time I have my mom make you some chitlins, and then you'll know what good eating is. So remember, now when time fell back for comfort food, it's the season of change, and leaves are falling, and be thankful. You got chicken to keep you hot, for life is for living and food is for giving. And Donna's out of here. Talk to y'all later. I got to go. I got to go get my apple scrapple so that I can have it for next week. Now, y'all tune in because Donna'll be back. Talk to y'all later. Keem.
Bye, Donna.
Bye.
Now, did I not lie? Is Donna a delight?
Exhale now.
Donna's delight. She is a delight.
I think she's going to go take a nap now. She probably wouldn't, but if I did that, I would need to.
So we learned something new today. Scrapple is the meat from the rooter to the tooter.
So, you know, I got to tell you, though, you know, Manchester, with the mayor, we were talking about the great restaurants. Manchester also has a great assortment of hole-in-the-wall, if you will, ethnic places, and they cook rooter to the tooter foods. And I've said this for years. I'm glad we have this right here in our community. I go to those places, and I order that food, and you know, you wouldn't cook it at home sort of thing because it's not of your cultural influence, if you will, but they know what they're doing, and you can get some incredibly flavorful foods from the rooter to the tooter. That's just a good one. But that's where the flavor really is. And, you know, fat is flavorful, and all those parts probably have flat. And I'll let you know when I figure out what to do with the scrapple.
Okay.
How it comes out.
Now you're going to look at it in a different way. Well, talking about trying different places like that, I think when we come back for break, Randy, you're going to talk about maybe trying something new.
Some Colombian food.
All right. I can look forward to hearing that. So you're listening to Food for Thought. I'm Tracy Gregoire in for Carol, who is on vacation. And we have in the studio Steve Freeman and Randy Clemens, and we will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. You're listening to Food for Thought with Carol. Except Carol is not here today. I'm Tracy Gregoire, and with me today is Steve Freeman from the Manchester Food Co-op. And also in-house today is Randy Clemens, author of the Sriracha Cookbook and the Veggie Lovers Sriracha Cookbook. So funny that you're here today, and that was the recipe that Donna shared with us, with had sriracha.
Yeah, definitely. Today. I mean, it's just one of those things that the whole impetus behind the books was just that I loved it on my food, but I also loved putting it in my food. It works really well as an ingredient. It can be overpowering if you put a lot on as a condiment, but when you cook with it, it really kind of, it's like a chameleon in a way. I mean, you still know it's there for sure, but it plays with a lot of different flavors.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because we have a giant bottle of sriracha, and the only person in my house that uses it is my husband. So it's kind of like, you know, when the salt and pepper come to the table at mm-hmm. dinner time, the sriracha comes to the table. He literally puts it on everything, but I never thought of cooking with it. So could I, if I don't like spicy, could I cook with it and like it?
Oh, I mean, the spice still comes through for sure. But I mean, and part of that is a lot of these recipes use Donna's was a quarter cup. Most of mine start there. I think the largest I went with was 3/4 cup or something.
Oh,
but
my.
It's when there's a lot of fat.
So I should use a teaspoon.
Yeah, I mean, definitely find, I think most of those recipes are consistent. Funny enough, the first recipe that Mike had tried from the book was the one that's in there that's not spicy enough. It's the party nuts that are in there. It needs a little more sriracha, and I'm actually working on some updating the front text of the book, just with a little more history that's happened since they've come out, since the books came out, the whole shutdown of the factory and all this other stuff. So I'm just going to update it a little bit, and I'm definitely going to bump up that number and that recipe and finally get it righted. But everything else, yeah, it's, you can totally cut, you know, the amounts in half and see how it works for you and go to taste. But it does, I don't want to say it mellows, but it plays much better, I think, with other flavors
when
it's cooked. Yeah. Okay. So, and yeah, you can certainly cook with a little less, and then when it comes out to the table, reach over and get some from your husband.
He'd put more on it for sure. It's on everything. I don't think there's anything that he doesn't put it on.
It really is a fantastic flavor. I've loved it for many years, and I've always heard hot foods, you know, increase your metabolism, burn calories, et cetera. And I have noticed, you know, I work at Catholic Medical Center. We have a hot sauce bin that has 16 or 20 different types of hot sauces. Mm. Something else that has really become in vogue in our lifetime is hot sauces. Because when I was, you know, growing up, it was Tabasco
or got
some crushed red pepper flakes from the cabinet. And now, you know, Sriracha is really, I think, one of the best on the market. And you got to be, I think you should certainly know that a lot of them have sugars added to them and other mm-hmm. flavors. And one thing I like about Sriracha is it's pretty pure.
Yeah, well, and there's other brands out there too. I mean, there's a company, Oso Pepper Company, I believe is their name. They're out of San Jose, California, but they make one. They actually use red bell peppers as a big part of their base, and then they add in hot peppers. But in doing so, that eliminates the need for them to add water and sugar, essentially. By juicing the bell peppers in a way, they're getting that water content and plenty of sugar. But so I think the actual sugar you ingest is something like a third of what the Hoi Fong Foods brand is in there. I believe their sodium content is a fifth or something. It's something like that, but it's really good.
So tell us about trying a Colombian restaurant recently.
Well, I haven't gone to this restaurant.
Yet.
No, I went to Colombia. And
I'd
never been to South America before. And I was just I was curious of what am I going to talk about? And I said I wondered if there's a Colombian restaurant anywhere near here. So there actually is down in Nashua. There's a place called Rincon Colombiano, which means...
Oh, you said that really nicely.
Oh, thank you. Well, I hope so.
Sounded good to me.
Rincon is basically it's a corner. And so it's kind of used a lot for sort of a hangout place. And so restaurants a lot of times will go with that name. So this just literally means Colombian hangout, Colombian corner. It's a very tiny restaurant. From all the pictures I saw, but all the reviews online were really positive. So For those who don't have an idea, I didn't have an idea quite where it was. It's up at the north end of South America, right by Central America. It's a very large country, and you deal with all kinds of different climates. I was staying in a city called Cartagena, where it's right by the Caribbean, so it's very far north. It was actually a pretty short flight. I went Boston to JFK, and then from JFK straight to Cartagena, but it was, I think, 5 hours from JFK, so it was pretty neat, but definitely humid, definitely hot. So there's an appreciation there for spicy foods as well. There's a huge appreciation for fresh juices, which I've seen when I've traveled to Mexico and Spain. There's just this big appreciation for really, really flavorful juices, and that you can get those down in Nashua as well. They carry on that tradition, but you can get some very interesting fruit juices like maracuya, which is passion fruit. And even the passion fruit you see here, like at Market Basket, you can find them. They're pretty small. They're like kind of purplish skin. They're kind of small. Mm-hmm. And when you pick up a ripe one, it's wrinkly and feels a little like very lightweight for what's in it. Mm-hmm. But that's the way you're supposed to buy them. That's when they're ripe, strangely enough. But you just scoop out the seeds and the flesh. It's not very much, but if you add one of them to like a smoothie or something, it adds an incredible amount of flavor. Oh, so
I never thought of doing that.
The ones down in Colombia were huge. I'd never seen passion fruit this large. And so that's probably why they could afford to juice it and charge so little for it. But my friends were laughing at how much I drank of it because it's one of my favorite things. And I hadn't had it that much since I'd gone to Mexico.
What other kind of things are in a smoothie like that? Or juicing?
They're just juicing. And you can get different juices, too. They've got like guanabana, which is soursop, and all these other like interesting fruits that I'd never seen before. But that's one of the best parts of what the cuisine is down there in my mind.
It's always great to try something new. I wish I'd done more of that as I was younger. But it's never too late, right?
Never too late.
So maybe hop down to Nashua and try out that new
Colombian. Yeah, Colombiano. Good stuff. Definitely try their breakfast.
Excellent. Randy, thank you for coming in and joining us just for a little bit today. You got to enjoy Donna's Delights with us for the first time.
That was a treat.
You guys got broken in. Steve, thank you so much for filling in with us. And you're going to fill in with me next week as well.
Correct.
Thank you, guys. I hope you have a wonderful day. You're listening to Food for Thought. And for Randy, tell everyone where they can find your cookbook.
Oh, it's available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But yeah, lots of retailers online. But if you go to the srirachacookbook.com, you can find it.
All right. Stay tuned for Kel and Company with Ken Kell.